Let's be clear. In spite of the story that I'm about to read from Genesis 22, I want you to be clear that people of faith in God have never practiced human sacrifice. But that we are called to trust those whom we love to God. Now, you may have guessed that the story that we're going to read this morning is about Abram and Sarah and Isaac, their son. It is complete coincidence that this story comes up in lectionary on Children's Sabbath. So I just have to make this disclaimer and say, the people of God have never practiced child sacrifice. And in this passage, I think that it's significant to know the context of it. Abram was 100 years old and Sarah was in her 90s. They had been promised a child. And they'd been disappointed all their decades, all their lives, that the child had not come. And time again, I'm sure, they gave up on God. But now in their old age, Sarah becomes expecting and bears a child. This young one, Isaac, who has now grown to be a boy who can walk and talk and carry firewood all on his own. This son that God had provided is now the subject of testing their loyalties to God. Okay? To see how faithful they will be to God. God did not intend to have Abraham sin to end his son's life. I'm convinced of that. Rather, God was testing their loyalties to see if Abraham would value God above everything else. God is not just a part of life. We tend to make our lives like a pie chart sometimes, and we give God a little segment, and we get proud of ourselves if that segment grows into a larger piece of the pie. But God is not just a part of life like that. God is life. And if you've got a pie chart of your life, you put all the parts into it. Your children, your family, your career, your hobbies, your loyalties, your frustrations. You put everything into the pie chart and then the whole thing you offer to God. It's not like God is just a segment of life. God is life. The Lord says, I came that you might have life, and that you might have life abundantly in me. That's what the Lord says. So in the context of all of that, now here, this lesson from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and I shall read verses 1 through 14. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. The Lord said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. So, Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and he set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I, that's Isaac, the boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son, Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, Father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. And when they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abram reached out his hand and took the knife to take his son's life. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. The voice said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering to God instead of his son. So Abram called that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on this mountain of the Lord, life will be provided. This is the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. The strange thing about giving, or about being willing to give or give up, later, centuries later in the New Testament, we understand that it is in giving that we end up receiving, and that it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. For the, you see, there's this dialogue of life and new life in us. Abraham's challenge at the age of 100+ years old, when he and Sarah had given birth to their first son, his challenge was to give everything to God and to give God the credit for everything. When we talk about giving, we often mean putting something in the offering plate. But I want you to understand our stewardship is much richer than that. We know these words. We've been looking at them for the last 3 weeks, and we've got today and one more Sunday to talk about prayers, presence, giving, service, and witness. These are part of what we pledge to do as people of faith, and the responsibilities that we claim as members of the church, part of the United Methodist Connection and part of this congregation and all of its witness in our community. Today we talk about our service. Abraham was willing to perform this act of sacrifice as a service to God, because he believed that's what God was calling him toward. And I'm glad that God got his attention and straightened him out and provided a substitute. And boy, is there any packed information in that. That any time we are called to give of ourselves, we understand that we're giving in the tradition of Christ who has already given to us. That when we are called to give up something we might prefer in order to live a life of discipleship, we recognize that Jesus himself gave up all, and that there was no alternate ram to sacrifice on that occasion. That God's own precious Son's life was given for us. His physical life, His breath, His agony was given for us to be redeemed and to find our place in God through Jesus Christ. But thankfully, like Abraham and Isaac's story, that wasn't the end, because Jesus rose again to life and was brought to breath again and to appearance again and to teaching again. Much of Jesus' teaching was post-resurrection in those appearances, some seven of them across the four gospel narratives. Some seven appearances of Jesus after the resurrection to give life and meaning and hope to the whole idea of resurrection. And to recognize for ourselves that we can live in resurrection life as well. We die a little every day. We suffer and we give and we hurt and we age and we compromise and give up something we really would like to have in order to be part of a family and or be part of a church family. We give. We sacrifice. That doesn't always mean killing a lamb or a ram or offering a son. But don't you and I offer our children to God anyway? We're at a stage where both of our daughters are grown and married, and many of you are in that stage as well. And you recognize that your days of influencing them, while they still look up to you and respect you, your days of influencing them on a daily basis are done. And you hope that you made good use of that while you had that time and while you saw them every morning and every evening and every mealtime and worship together in the life of the church. And then when it comes time for them to grow up and live in someone else's house and be married and work on their own full time and be responsible drivers and teachers and leaders in their communities and in their local churches, you just have to pray that as you give up that daily influence on them, as you in fact sacrifice them, lift them up for God's blessing, that God will bless all that you've planted in them and help it to grow. It works when we work with other people's children as well. When we talk about serving in the church, one of the best and greatest ways to serve is to teach. Whether it's teaching three-year-olds, like Kathy is planning on doing this morning, or whether it's teaching an adult class, like some of you will do, it's about sharing the influence of God's grace. And it's about living out our service by helping others to serve, whether it's youth or children or families. It's about serving. It's the fourth part of our vow of membership. It is what our folks that stood a while ago and we prayed over, and we'll do it again second service. It's what we do. We serve. We find ways to serve, whether it's leadership or missions or outreach or teaching or preparing communion elements or just living in the life of the church and sharing worship together. It's putting God in the center of our lives. It's putting God at that altar, at that place where the most valuable thing is. For us, will it be our children? For us, will it be our careers? What is it that you need to put on your altar? Abram and Sarah were so proud of this son that they had in their old age, 100 years old and 90 years old, the two of them. How could they have a child except one that God had promised? And now that they have that one child, you ever met a family who have one child and they treasure that child more than anything in the whole world? I think it almost lives on the edge of idolatry. You can value that and cherish that child more than anything else, even God. Maybe that's where Abram and Sarah were. Maybe that's why God called them to do this. I say them. I don't know that Sarah was aware of it. I'm not sure that she knew when she let them go that morning with their sack lunches that only one of them was coming home. I doubt that Abram shared that with her. I don't think so. Sarah was home baking bread and cleaning the kitchen just like usual and probably cooking something for dinner and had no idea. One wonders if she ever did. If Abraham ever shared with her what happened on that hillside that day at the altar of the Lord. It was a crucifix right there. A crisis point where earth and heaven came into conflict. Where the whole idea of prosperity as a family came into conflict with God's call to give and even to give up. Maybe that's what it means to truly serve. Maybe that's what it means to truly give. Abram and Sarah came to believe that what seemed impossible to them was actually possible after all with God, that they could have a child. And when that little baby was born, they named him Isaac, which means laughter. Laughing at God. Laughing at God because even God could make a 90-year-old woman bear a child and a 100-year-old husband. And if that wasn't enough, I guess, you know, being born is just the beginning. Then you've got that other 18 years or 20 years of life and raising and all the challenges that go with it. But it was such a huge occasion for them that their names were changed from Abram and Sarai, the old names, to Abraham and Sarah. And you know what Abraham means? The father of many. Things didn't work out so well with Adam and Eve and with Noah, the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And finally, God decides with Noah to make a flood and start again. Things go down again pretty quickly. But here, now in this passage in Genesis, God is starting over. And God is testing people to see how strong they are and how willing they are to be obedient, to follow God no matter what. Abraham passed the test. And God, in God's grace, provided an alternative way to allow him to pass that test of making a sacrifice to God and still keeping his son to love. And he realized that son was not just the one named Isaac, but that was the future of the entire people of Israel. Abraham, the father of many, comes to be true. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the whole lineage of people, the progeny as it moves forward, the promise of God. Sometimes we question God too. I imagine Abraham questioned God on this occasion. Does it mean that we don't trust God? No, I don't think so. We ask one another challenging questions sometimes. That doesn't mean we don't trust each other. It means that we're human and we acknowledge that and we work together to try to live in community so that our standards can be raised and our life can be offered to God in a more wholesome, holistic form. That's what it means to be a part of a church family, a community of faith. I don't know that any of us would have the courage that Abraham had. In the days of Abraham, never in the community of Israel was child sacrifice an issue, but it certainly was in the community around them. It was not at all uncommon in that ancient time in the world for a man to lead his son up on a mountain to be sacrificed to his deity. What was extraordinary about this story is for a man to come down the mountain with his son still alive, saved by the grace of God with a substitute sacrifice. And through that ancient story, Abraham and his descendants explain why they had changed their theory or their model of God, and why they had dared to be different from neighbors who still practiced ancient practices. It wasn't too late to challenge the widely held assumptions and to change their theory of God. And I think we have the same thing going on in our life today. There are people who serve all kinds of gods. Education, child raising, their careers. You know what I mean. We all have our loyalties. We have our, oh yes, we love our children. We love our work. We enjoy and we thrive on it. We really couldn't do without it. And yet, all of that is in perspective, and it is God whom we worship the most. We lift our time and energy and talents and gifts and giving in the life of the church in order to help it grow and help it be strong and help it serve in mission and ministry to people of faith. But we don't worship the church. We worship God. So throughout all the centuries, led by many teachers and prophets since then, Abraham and Sarah and their descendants came to believe that God wanted one thing from humankind, not sacrifice, whether human or animal, but it was this. And we're told in the other end of the Old Testament through Micah the prophet that what God really wanted was for us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. The only sacrifice that mattered to God was the gift of humble hearts and dedication to His way of love. So, in our faith, it's not too late. It's not too late for a dream to come true. It's not too late to learn something new. That we're not called to beat ourselves up or to sacrifice or to give up something so precious as a child, a firstborn and only. But what we are called to do is give our time and energy to God. We're called to give our resources that the word of the kingdom of Christ might spread. And we're still figuring out how to do that. In the United Methodist Connection and in the broader church, we have all kinds of issues that drag us away from that goal. In our national politics, we have election news on a daily basis that would drag us away from that. I'm not sure that God really cares which person we elect. I am sure that God calls us to lead others into faith, whoever we serve, whoever we lead behind. Not leave behind, but lead behind. Whoever we lead behind, we are called to draw others into that life and to teach them about God and about humility. To teach people how to live humble lives of service and of sacrifice to God. Not sacrificing our children, but sacrificing our time and energy and our willingness. That's what it means to be alive in the story of creation and in the story of God's redeeming grace. That's what it means to be alive. And it means to be daring while the light still shines and while it's not too late. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. If today is the day for you to come to Christ and to find fellowship and find hope, to find a new direction in your life, and maybe to draw someone else along with you to the mountain, then you're invited to come and express that as we all sing our faith. If today is the day for you to trust Christ in a new way, to reclaim your faith or to recommit your life or to profess a new direction in your life, then I invite you to make that deal with God. Let us be in God's presence at the altar of faith as we sing together.